You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, how many of you have your Bibles? Or your iPads, or, you know, your iPhones, or whatever. Jesus loves me, this I know, for my iPhone tells me so. I've got Bibles everywhere. You know, I've got them on my iPhone, on my iPad, and if you got a paper Bible, that's fine too, you know. They used to have scrolls where they rolled out, and then they went to books, and now they're gone electronic. And just get the Word in you. There's nothing holy about the script, about the letter. The letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. Amen. It's more important you have it inside of you than outside anyway. Yeah. You ought to get it in. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119. We're just going to read that whole psalm verse by verse. No, I'm not. I've got a couple verses I want to get to. Actually, that's a very long psalm. A couple weeks ago, last week, Michael actually filled in, Michael Lusson, just did a tremendous job from what I heard. I've wound up preaching in my hometown. Brenna had her 40-year class reunion there, and so I just tagged along as her husband. And I thought she was the prettiest one of the bunch, of course. And everybody recognized Brenna. She wears her hair about the same way she did in high school, and she looks just about the same. And, you know, you always wonder if you're going to recognize people. Everybody recognized Brenda. They go, oh, Brenda, you look just like you did, you know. Anyway, so I was passing out glasses. But anyway, I'm kidding. I'm going to get in trouble with Brenda. I'll be the first to concur that she's the prettiest one there. But I preached there Sunday morning at Center Christian Fellowship, and then, of course, Michael filled in, and I just heard it was just tremendous service. Chris did our class. I heard good reports concerning the class. And, you know, the head of the church is the Holy Ghost, not, you know, Jesus, and then runs by the Holy Spirit. And there's no star in this show. Jesus is the only star. Amen. Praise God. But I taught on the week before that on substitution. Y'all might remember that. Something that's kind of foreign to all religion, but it's something that's very unique to Christianity. When you hear the term substitution, it's very unique. I mean, Muhammad didn't substitute himself for you, and Buddha didn't substitute himself for you, but Jesus did. He substituted for you. These are words that are unique to Christianity. Reconciliation. You're not reconciled in the Islamic faith. You're not reconciled in Judaism. You're not reconciled to God in Buddhism. You're only reconciled to God in Christianity, because only Christianity has a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is Jesus. Only Christianity has a substitute, and that substitute is Jesus. We go to heaven because of what he did, not what we did. Amen? On his merit, not our merit. He took our place. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Muhammad didn't come to die for you. Muhammad didn't die for anybody. And Buddha didn't come to die for you. The Four Noble Truths, you know, that he puts out. Buddhism is kind of like a philosophy. And even in Judaism, it was incomplete. Judaism is not completed except in Christ. Are you with me? Because he is our Passover. He is our first fruits. He is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Even in Judaism, no religious leader took your place. No religious leader ever said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Moses holds out the law or the Torah, you know, and Muhammad would hold out the Quran, and Buddha would hold out the Four Noble Truths. Jesus doesn't hold out anything. He just points to himself, and he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus didn't show us the way. Jesus is the way. Amen. Jesus didn't bring us the message. He is the message. Right. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And then that wonderful thing called grace, hallelujah, that we're all saved by. That's God's favor on us, his love extended toward us. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. The only thing we do is accept it. We receive it. We take the offer. Amen? We put our faith in it. That's exactly what Galatians tells us, and Ephesians. Well, somewhere in the Bible it says, Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Amen? And I got that. I understand that. But sometimes grace gets a bad rap. Sometimes we hear about grace, and it's almost like, okay, now we're saved, doesn't matter what we do. And I got that. I know there's nothing I can do to stay saved. There's nothing I can do to get saved. But we're still supposed to live right and live holy. And grace is not an excuse for sin. Actually, grace is a power over sin. And I think we miss that sometimes. Because we're saved by grace, we kind of get the idea, and we hear in some circles, it doesn't really matter what we do. But actually, because we are saved, it should matter what we do. Now, not to be saved, because I didn't get saved by my works. But I am saved, so I now should live holy and live right. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Yes. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to save us. The Bible says his name is called Jesus, for he saved them from their sins. I think we often just equate that to the consequence of sins, that Jesus came and saved me from hell or saved me from the consequence of my sin. That's not what it says. It says he saved me from my sins. So now, as a Christian, as a believer, I can live right. I can overcome sin. It's not a matter I have to do it. It's I can do it and I should do it. I have grace now. The grace that saved me is the same grace that helps me overcome sin. And the only thing I can add to this grace is just my faith. That's it. I believe on the grace of God and I'm saved. I believe on the grace of God and I live right. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, that's good preaching. Praise the Lord. So I believe, I belong, I behave. Don't get that mixed up. It's you believe and you belong. You don't behave to belong, to believe. You believe and you belong, now you behave because you belong. You belong because you believe. Y'all got it? Okay. So I'm a believer, therefore I belong. I don't belong because of all the good things I'm doing. I belong because I'm a believer. I belong because I believe. I believe, I belong. I behave because I belong. Got it? I belong because I believe. Okay. Well, y'all get it in a minute. Psalms 119. So what do we do? The Bible's full of instruction. I love this. That's why David would say, I love thy law. He meant, I love thy instruction. He wasn't saying the works, the laws. He meant the instruction of God. That's what that word often means. Sometimes we're talking about the law of Moses. Sometimes we're just saying instruction and loosely called law. He talks about God's commandments are delight to him. They're like honey, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. He was in Psalms 19, he was said that. And he's talking about the information, the instruction. I want instruction. I want information. I want to know how to live. I want to know how to have a good marriage. I want to know how to lead people to Jesus. Amen. I want to know how to be a good witness. Why? Because I am saved. Not to be saved, but because I am saved. In other words, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to represent somebody. Amen. Isn't that right? I want to be a representative. I want to be a light. I want to be useful. I want to be a vessel that's worthy and useful to the kingdom of God. I can't do this. Doesn't save me. This doesn't get me right with God. You know, it keeps me in fellowship. It has benefits, no doubt. I do reap what I sow. I got that. Are you with me? But the good news is I'm not on my own. No more than I was on my own when I got saved to get saved. I'm not on my own serving God to serve God. Y'all catching that? Everybody say grace. Grace is that kind of power. Grace is the kind of thing that does what you can't do. You know, grace is something that's showered upon you. It's favor. It's goodness. It's God extending his hand toward you. And by the grace of God, I'm saved. But I would go a little further in Scripture, even as plain along these lines, is that the grace of God helps me serve him. The grace of God helps me live holy. The grace of God helps me forgive. The grace of God helps me get over anger. Are you with me? The grace of God helps me overcome addictions. The grace of God helps me overcome character flaws. We can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. God understands. Yeah, God does understand, and it's wrong. He understands it's wrong. He wants to help you. And God will help you be like him. He'll help you get over things. He loves you. He's for you. Don't beat yourself over the head. None of us are perfect. I got no stones to throw. I mean, as soon as you get on somebody for gossiping, you probably have unforgiveness or something. Are you with me? Hello. Or anger. Or, you know, the list could go on and on. We like to talk about the big sins, you know, but really, we all have things we need to work on. But I believe in the grace of God. Are you with me? I'm not even going to ask who that was. Okay? Because of the grace of God, I'm not going to ask. I believe that God did what I couldn't do when I got saved. And you know what? I believe God can do what I can't do in serving him too. I'm not serving him in my own power. I'm not trying to love people by myself. I'm not trying to live holy by myself. I'm not trying to forgive people by myself. I'm not trying to overcome anger by myself. I'm not trying to overcome addictions by myself. I am not alone. The grace of God empowers me to do this. The grace of God helps me to do this. God Almighty will help me be like Him. He won't help me be like anybody else, but He'll help me be like Him. God Almighty will help me live right. He'll help me forgive you and love you. He won't help me hate you. I don't actually need any help to hate you. I can do it all by myself. That's something we all do real well. Are you with me? I don't need help sinning. I need help living right. And the good news is that the grace of God has been extended toward us in such a manner that we can do this. Hallelujah. Don't throw your hands up. You can do this. Don't say you can't, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. And see, we need to apply that toward serving the Lord and toward living right and overcoming things in our life. How many of you ever sinned since you got saved? Four of you. That's good. I mean, come on. I mean, how many of you ever had to repent of something? We've all had to. How many have things you're working on? Yeah. We all do. Come on. That's just part of life. But let's don't give up and let's don't quit. Amen. Let's keep believing. And let's trust in the grace of God to help us. Yeah. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved by grace. I believe, therefore I belong. Yeah. Now I'm working on behaving. Okay, not that I can separate myself from everybody, so I want to be a light to everybody. I want to be a representative to everybody. I mean, if we all just hate each other, somebody's got to start loving somebody. Somebody's got to start forgiving. Somebody's got to live right. You know, somebody's got to be an example. Well, I want to be that example. I want to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. We're living in a dark time in our country, in our world that we're living in. I believe we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. And perilous times will come, the Bible says. But we don't need to be afraid. That's right. We just need to be stronger. We need to pray to be stronger men and stronger women. Hallelujah. And the grace of God will help us do that. Amen. Psalms 119, notice what it says. We're going to talk about some things it says here about overcoming sin and overcoming by grace. Grace to overcome. I love that. You know, grace doesn't just save us. Grace helps us serve Him too. I think we miss that point, don't we? You know what I'm talking about? In some circles, we major so much on the salvation experience, we kind of leave it hanging that it really doesn't matter what you do. But grace is a power over all those hang-ups I got. Grace is a power over all those sins. Grace is a force to be reckoned with. It's not an excuse for the sin. It is a power over the sin. Hallelujah. And I am a better man than I was before I got saved. Am I perfect? No, I'm working on things. But I tell you, if you knew me before, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, you didn't know me before. If you'd have seen me before I came to Jesus, and God said, there's your pastor, you probably wouldn't be in church right now. Hello, because God saw what I could be. Yeah. God saw what you can be. You know, that old saying, anybody can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count how many apples are in a seed. He sees what there are potential. God always sees us in that light. He sees what we can do. Doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do it, but we can do it, and we need to major on it. Amen? Amen. Notice what it says here, Psalms 119, verse 11. First start verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. I love that. Now, there's a lot of instruction right there. How am I going to cleanse my way? Well, first someone has to start listening, paying attention, and taking heed to God's word. You hear all kinds of things in life, all kinds of voices in the world. But you know what you need to hear is what God has to say. Amen? So there we have some instruction. How am I going to cleanse my way? I mean, what are some steps I need to take? Well, how much of God's word do you have in your heart? You know, and I like to say be specific. In other words, if you're dealing with an anger issue, why don't you get in the Word of God and find out what God says about peace and see what He says about anger? And then start instituting those things in your life, doing what God says to do. You know, because you can have a how-to program, 10-step program, 12-step program, so on and so forth. And I'm not against that. I think there's some great programs out there. You can go to a psychiatrist and psychologist and so on and so forth. I'm not against all that. I think there's some good in some of those. Christian psychiatry, you know, I got that. But why not just go to the Word? If you need some help with that, fine. You need to go another step. That's fine, too. But if you want to go, just go to the Word and find out there's no better counsel than God's counsel, is there? And so if we're having an issue in our life we need to take care of, well, how do I cleanse my ways? How does a young man cleanse his ways? Well, he says this, by taking heed to your word. Oh, hallelujah. In the New Living Translation says this. It says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Just do what God says to do. Don't question it. Don't second guess it. Don't think you're smarter than God. Just do what he says to do. Amen. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. No, stay around God's word. Stay close to God's word. Make a habit of reading the word, standing on the word, obeying the word, asking yourself this question when something comes up. God, what do you say about that? What would you have me do? You know, it's a big campaign years ago. What would Jesus do? You know, you really can't improve on that, because that's a great question you should ask yourself. What would Jesus do? Do that. Amen. Would Jesus do what you're doing? Would he act like you're acting? Would he take the stand you're taking? That's a good question. The way you're treating that person, your wife or your husband or whatever, is that what Jesus would do? I think there's a lot of times I'd have to say, I don't think so. I don't think he'd do that. So I want to obey his word, take heed to his word. He goes on and says this in the 11th verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wow. I mean, this is like kindergarten stuff. It's 1, 2, 3. You know it and I know it. But, you know, I wonder how much we really believe it and stand on it. If you put God's word in your heart, it will keep you from sin. It'll help you love people. God's word, if you'll treasure it and hold on to it and talk about it and share it and delight in it and have a habit of looking on to it, reading it, quoting it, sharing it with each other. You know, if you do that, that in itself will keep you from sin. It's like there's a replacement thing going on here. It's not just a vacuum that we live in, I'm just not going to sin. No, I'm going to do right instead of do wrong. I'm not going to do nothing, I'm going to do something. You know, if you're not going to hate someone, then you need to love them. You don't need to be neutral. You need to actively pray for them. Hey, here's a concept. Somebody you're having trouble with, pray for them. New concept, I know. I know it's new. Pray for them. It's very hard to hate someone that you're praying for regularly. It really is. I mean, someone that you're really having a lot of trouble with. If you get on your knees like the Bible says do, and forgive, and lift that person up and pray for that person regularly, just make a habit, and it may be mechanical at first. You may have to hold your lips and shape them and say, I forgive them. But if you'll do that day in and day out, eventually, you know what? All that stuff will just leave. That junk will just get out of you, and sin just can't stay there. The word will push the sin out. You know, I always like to bring this up, the golden rule. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus wasn't the only one who had a golden rule. You know, Buddha had a golden rule. Hillel, who was a Jewish writer about the time of Christ, had the golden rule. That's no big deal. Well, I'll tell you, there is a big deal here. Because when Jesus said the golden rule, he said it differently than they did. If you look at ancient golden rules, it went something like this. Don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. That's the way it's stated. That's the way the Jews stated it, and Buddha and different ones. So it boiled down to this, I just don't do to you, Eva, what I wouldn't want you to do to me. So all I had to do to obey that one is to do nothing. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. He actually turned it around. And that required participation. That required us doing something. Christianity is a spectator, not a spectator sport, but it's that we're all participants in this thing. Amen. So the way to overcome evil, what does Romans 12:21 say to do? It says, be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our motto in Hallelujah Night. Let's do something good. Let's don't just, you know, say, okay, we're not going to celebrate Halloween. Well, which we don't. Let's take it over and do something different called Hallelujah Night. And make everything about Jesus and wear a t-shirt with Jesus on it and all the booths about Jesus and, you know, and St. Paul's softball, whatever. You know, whatever the booth is about the Lord, and pass tracks out and have Christian music and have Christian skits on the puppet stage. What we're doing, and that's our scripture on our t-shirts, we're not being overcome by evil, but we're overcoming evil with good. I like that. Isn't that good? So the idea, okay, I'm not going to hate. Yeah, but that means you're going to do something you're going to love.
Amen.
Isn't that right? We're going to turn it around. I'm going to obey. How do I live holy? How do I cleanse my heart? How do I live right? Well, I obey your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hallelujah. Boy, this is good preaching. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. This is good. Turn over to 1 John, just to reiterate this point. 1 John 2. Now, I'm not talking about being saved. I am saved. I'm talking about living the life. Big difference here, amen? Because people get all out of whack about it, you know, and they'll say, you got to do this and you got to do this. And then some people say, well, you don't have to do anything. And now, you know, I think they're both wrong. I mean, come on. I'm a Christian, and I feel an obligation. I think with every right comes a responsibility. I believe God saved us because he loved us, but then he also requires of us to live for him. He wants us to live right before him. He wants us to be a witness, just like your children. You want to be proud of your children. You want them to carry on the name. You know, they're a part of the family. My dad used to always say, son, when you go out there, remember you're a Williams. That's the first thing I forgot when I walked out the door. Hello. But I mean, I know what he was trying, looking back, I know what he was trying to say. You're a Williams, you know, you represent the family, you know, and all those Williams, hello, you know, you hear things like that. Oh, I know that family. Oh, I'm telling you about that. See, it's almost like you have a label on a family. Well, we're Christians. We ought to give the right impression. Amen. And nothing we do made us a Christian. We're a Christian because we were born into this thing. We were born again. I got that. But I want to be a good representation of that, of Christianity. That's what we're saying here. So in 1 John, y'all found it?
Yep.
1 John 2, notice what it says here. I like this. I got my iPad here. I got my iPhone here. I believe in open carry. I can hit you with both hands here, okay? Okay. 14th verse says, I have written unto you, this is really insightful here, and I love this. It says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Did y'all get that? Now, if you back up one verse, 13 verse says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome temptation. You overcome sin. You overcome the wicked one. You're living right. You're living good. Now, why were they living good? 14th verse again. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you. There's the key right there. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here these young men, the word of God abode strong or lived strong inside of them, so they overcame the wicked one. How do you overcome temptation? How do you live right? How do you love people? How do you forgive? How do you overcome addictions? How do you overcome anger, you know, that you're dealing with? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's procrastination. You know, don't put it off till tomorrow. Let's do it today. Now I'm really getting on to you. Maybe it's gossip. I don't know what it is. Could be anything. You don't have to live like that. Just like you don't have to go to hell, you can come to heaven. You can go to heaven accepting Jesus. As a Christian, you don't have to live like that either. You can overcome that by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen? You can do what you couldn't do before. You got power now you didn't have before. You've never been alone a day in your life since the day you got saved. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even the ends of the earth. And you know what? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got the greater one living inside of you. You got the one who can love through you. You got the one who can forgive through you. You got the one that can overcome sin and addiction in your life. You can do it. You can do it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through him that loves you. And he gives you the victory through Christ, and he always causes you to triumph in Christ. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. That's me. That's you. I'm a Christian. I'm a world overcomer. I'm a sin overcomer. I can live right now where I couldn't live right before. That's good stuff. The word of God in me helps me to be strong and it helps me overcome. Jesus said it another way. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth And the truth will make you free. The truth of God's word will free us as Christians. Now, I can be a Christian and still be bound. I can be a Christian and still be bound by hate or unforgiveness or any other thing. I mean, I can name off addictions and so on and so forth. I can still have trouble with sin and still has a place in my life because I'm not abiding in His Word, because I'm not continuing in His Word. I'm not doing His Word. I have the potential to overcome it, but I'm not overcoming it because I'm not doing what God says to do. I'm not tapping into the grace of God that saved me. Oh, hallelujah. See, we got to come to God with the same faith we came to Him to be saved. We got to come to Him that same faith to help us serve Him. And He will empower us to do what we couldn't do before, just like He saved us when we couldn't save ourselves.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, turn with me to Romans. Oh, boy, I don't know if we're ready for this. This is so good. Are you ready for Romans? Man, good stuff. Listen, there's hope for you. God doesn't hate you. He's for you. You may be sinning. You may be having you may have addiction. You may have problems in an area. But I'm here to tell you, you can be set free. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to give in to that. That's not your plight in life. In fact, the grace of God will help you and undergird you and strengthen you. You can get out of that mess. You can be free. Woo! Man, it's good. I know this is not like healing and, you know, and gifts of the Spirit. We're not all shouting and hollering and screaming, but this is good stuff. Sometimes we're more about charisma than we are character, but God's concerned about character. He wants us to get our character right, our heart right. He wants us to really love from the inside out. Hallelujah. We make a lot of the outside. He makes a lot of the inside. And He works from the inside out. Now listen to this. This is good. It's all good. You know, I got 66 favorite books. Just thought I'd throw that out. Romans 6, verse 1. Notice what it says here. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, that's not. See, grace does not mean you can just do whatever you want to. Grace saved you because you couldn't save yourself. But you have now a responsibility. You have a responsibility with this right as a Christian to live holy and live right. Be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Now, that's not what saves me. I am saved. I believe. I belong. I behave. Amen. Y'all catch it? I don't know how to state that any better. I mean, that's really good. I believe, I belong, I behave. Don't flip it, because you flip it and you'll get all messed up. Because I behave, I belong. No, you don't belong because you behave. You belong because you believe. Amen? And because you believe, you belong. Because you belong, you behave. Let these things not be once named among you as becometh Christians. That's what Paul says. As what? As becometh Christian. It's not becoming to a Christian to live this way. He didn't say, let these things not be named once among you so you can become a Christian. He said, let not these things be named among you as becometh Christians. Get it? Woo! Okay. Oh, hallelujah, that's good preaching. Mm. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we continue to do that when He saved us? We're saved now. We shouldn't live like that. Amen? And he jumps down here. Notice the sixth verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, this is positive. This is not just... He's not condemning anybody. He's not getting on your case here. He's encouraging you and I to understand who we are. And because of who we are, we don't have to sin. You may think you have to. You don't have to. You may think you can't overcome this thing. You can overcome it. You may think you're helpless. You are not helpless. You have been crucified with Christ. Yeah. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave Himself for you. Hallelujah. And he says this, knowing that the old man's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe, that we also shall live with him. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no dominion over him. Stay with me. For in that he died in sin once. Aren't you glad he's not having to do that over and over again? And aren't you glad you don't have to do it over and over again? He did it one time, sat down on the right hand of God, making good your eternal redemption for you forever. In that he died in sin once. In that he lives to God likewise reckoned. See, he's from East Texas. I knew it. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You don't have to obey it. You think you do, but you don't have to. Oh man, that's good stuff. See, if I know who I am, and that's a problem, I think, is we have an identity crisis. We often hear in churches, and I'm not blasting anybody. I'm pro-church. I love people. I love Christians of all denominations. They love Jesus, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. We're pro-church. I don't think we're the only way. Come on. Jesus is the way. Are you with me? Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic. If you love Jesus, you're going to heaven. Now, I know we're right and they're wrong. I got that. But I'm kidding. Come on. Just stay with me. There's only one way to heaven, and it's not International Outreach Church, it's Jesus Christ. I got that. But I think sometimes we give the impression and we drill in, we even have this saying we say all the time religiously. It's not scriptural, but it's very religious. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We say that all the time. And yet, the truth is we were sinners, we're now saved. I can sin, yes, I got that. I can sin. And if I sin, the Bible says I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. If I confess my sin, he's just and faithful, forgive my sins. So I can sin, but by nature, that's not who I am now. Because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Paul wrote several letters he never wrote to the sinners. In fact, a saint's not someone who's canonized by the Catholic Church. God bless Catholics. But a saint is someone who's saved. To the saints at Rome, to the saints at Ephesus, to the saints at Galatia. If you look at all of Paul's writings, he didn't write to sinners. He wrote to saints. He called them saints. One time he said, he talked about sinners, and he said, of whom I am chief. He said that one time, meaning that he had sinned, but he didn't label himself a sinner. In fact, when he talked about himself in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said this, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, I'm not a sinner by the grace of God. I'm saved by the grace of God. Isn't that right? So I can sin, yes, but that's not who I am. I am a saint. I didn't make myself one. He did. I didn't make myself righteous. He did. I don't even have my own righteousness. I have his. That's what Paul said, having not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, amen, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm a saint who can sin, but I'm not a sinner who can live holy. I'm a saint who can sin. I was a sinner who was lost. It could do holy things. I used to be a sinner who could do holy things. I could do good things. I could help little ladies across the street. But if I'd got run over in the middle of that street, I'd gone to hell. In the middle of a good deed. Because I was a sinner. I was lost. But now, I'm a saint. Either you is or you ain't. Okay? Anyway. Now, I'm just biblical talk. I'm talking Bible talk here. I'm not talking about religious talk. That's just what the Bible says. And so, you know, just like that sheet that came down. Remember the sheet came down from heaven in Acts, the 10th chapter, and Peter was on a rooftop, and he saw all these manner of unclean things, and the voice from heaven said, kill and eat. And there were some Gentiles coming knocking on his door, you know, and he was fixing to minister to the Gentiles. And he said, oh, nothing unclean has slipped my lips. And the voice said, what God hath cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And he was talking about people. He's talking about people who were at his door. And the sheet came down three times. And then the Spirit told him when he saw these people, the Spirit said, go with them, nothing doubting. He went to Cornelius' house and he, of course, led them to the Lord. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and saved. Gentiles got saved. But it's a profound statement when you think about it. Has God cleansed you? What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. You have not been common since you've been saved. You're a Christian. You are a believer. You're a saint. You're a child of the living God. You're a peculiar people. It's good stuff, isn't it? But because of an identity crisis, a lot of times we don't think we can overcome sin. We think we're just doomed to, you know, repeat it. It's just the way we are. It's the world we're living in. Well, I got the world we're living in, but I'm not of the world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I've been born again. I need to renew my mind with the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you know the truth. Truth make you free. If you're strong in the world, you overcome the wicked one. There is a correlation here, amen? Y'all see that? So, and I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you. Y'all getting this? Okay, because I'll give a test next week on it, but anyway. No, you'll be tested as soon as you walk out of here. Don't get me wrong. It won't be me testing you. The devil's going to hit you as soon as you get out, trying to get you to hate somebody or get mad, or somebody's going to cut in front of you, and you're going to have an opportunity. See how well you do. Think about this one. 1 Corinthians 15:34, I believe, where it says this. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. You know what we've been trying to wake the church up to? Sin. We need to wake the church up to righteousness. And what? Sin not. Don't leave off that part. Because we're not trying to wake you to righteousness where you can go ahead and sin. No, wake to righteousness and sin not. So what does that mean? It means I believe I belong. I behave. Ooh, hallelujah. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm just getting blessed up here. That's good stuff. I just want to go out there and overcome some sin right now. Hallelujah. Romans 6. Y'all still there? My phone just went off and I've got that, you know, that fingerprint ID. I told you about my brother, didn't I? I showed my brother how to do the fingerprint password, you know. And so he calls me. He's in Lufkin. He said, man, I'm locked out of my phone. He called me on his house phone, you know. I said, what do you mean you locked out of your phone? He said, I can't get it. I did that ID thing you did, and I can't remember which finger I had on it. And I said, you got 10, okay? Just try them all. You'll finally get the one that... My brother, he's a lot of fun. Okay. Now notice what it says here, 14th verse. 6th chapter, 14th verse. We're going to go to one more and we'll wrap this up. This helping you? Because I want to help you. Church is not to condemn you. You should be convicted in church. I want to be convicted, but I don't want to be condemned. I want to be helped. Amen? Show me the light. Show me the way. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want that. But don't hate me. Okay? And God doesn't hate you. He does not hate you. In fact, if something comes alive to you here and you'd say, man, I sure have been doing that wrong. I gotta correct that. Well, do it with the right spirit. Hey, thank God he showed it to you. Thank God he loved you enough to show you what to do right. Okay? And just do it right. Come on. It'll start a new day today. Forget the sin. Maybe you've just been mean as a snake. I'm not asking any wives to testify. But anyway, you can change that. You can change that. And we come to church to find out how to get right. Amen? You ought to always come hungry and always come willing to change.
Amen?
Amen? Yes. Every service ought to come that way. I come hungry. I want to know what God has to say. I want to know what I need to do. And you know what? I am willing to change. I want to change. Amen. I want to get better. Notice it says here in the 14th verse, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. Wow, what a different way to say that. I mean, you're thinking, okay, I'm under grace, I'm saved. Well, no, he's talking about sin. He's talking about serving God. And he says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law, you're under grace. In other words, grace frees you from sin. Not just the power of it, the consequence of it, I mean, but the sin itself. Now, isn't that kind of the case, really? We think of Christianity, and we think of sin, and we think we're free from the consequence of it, right? We don't go to hell. Jesus came to save me from hell. Well, actually, he saved you from your sin. It's a little better than just the consequence. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that's good. So, 14th verse again. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. That's not what he's saying. He's saying just the opposite. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has been delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Oh, man, that is just powerful stuff. Okay, all right, Titus, let's turn to Titus, and I'll wrap this up. I'm just kind of flowing through Scripture, quoting a lot of them. You know, that's kind of the way I get away with it. You don't turn to half the Scriptures I quote. I can get more Scripture in that way. Notice Titus, the second chapter. Wow, everybody sitting down? Okay, God, I want to make sure you're ready for this. 11th verse. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's what grace does. Grace doesn't just save us. Grace teaches us how to live godly. So I got a power now I didn't have before. I'm not on my own trying to forgive you and love you. Hallelujah. I'm not on my own trying to live right and overcome sin. Whatever addiction's trying to hang on me, and it's different with everybody. As soon as you point at somebody's sin, you got another sin you're dealing with. And we're all different. I mean, you know, what you have trouble with, someone else doesn't have trouble with. And, you know, what you've overcome, someone else, they overcome what you're still dealing with. That's why we need to pray for each other. Amen. But the good news is that whatever it is that you're having trouble with, you can overcome it. Amen. Okay, one more. I will quit. This is it. Turn to Ephesians. This is the final closing. This is the ultima closing. In Ephesians 2, and I quoted this, but I want to go on down to the a little further. 8th verse says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. 10th verse. This is the closing verse. This is it. 10th verse. For we are his workmanship. How many of you believe that your salvation is a matter of grace and God's work? Let's go a step further. What you are now as a Christian is God's work. Not just you being saved. Not just you going to heaven. That's a work of God. But you are now a work of God. Okay? You are. And he says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Yeah. And I like that Greek word. That Greek word is poema. We get the word poem from it. I always like to say, you want to see some poetry? Look at me. I'm poetry in action right here. I'm God's poetry. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, I was made, now that I'm born again, now that I'm a Christian, now that I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I was made to serve God. Yeah. Hey, I was born for such a time as this. Yeah. I was born to love you. I was born again to forgive you. I was made to live holy. Now, if God made a car, it would run, wouldn't it? If God made a clock, that would tick. God made a fan, it'd spin and it'd blow. If God made someone to do good works, that someone can do good works. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. And I didn't make myself, he made me. Yeah. I didn't save myself, I didn't make myself. He saved me by his grace. He made me by his grace. And by his grace, I'm going to heaven. By his grace, I'm forgiven. And by his grace, I can live holy. Yeah. I just need to tap into it. Just like I did when I got saved. I had to put my faith, by grace you're saved through faith. I had to put my faith in God's grace to save me. I got to start putting my faith in God's grace to love you. And my faith in God's grace to live holy. And my faith in God's grace to get over the anger, whatever the case, overcome addiction, whatever the case. I got to get serious about this because this is who I am. This is who you are, amen? That's good stuff. Grace to overcome sin.